Hey everybody, my name is Damara West and I'm founder of Be Well Beautiful Woman, where we help women to center their healing and liberation so that they can lead and live on their own terms. I'm so excited to welcome you into the Abundance Summit, which is all about amplifying your power to draw in more money, more joy, and more ease. And I'm so excited about our next guest on the lineup. I have Dr. Akwea Wotton. I had to really slow down in my pronunciation of that. And I so appreciate her patience in helping me to get it right. It's such a beautiful name. So let me tell you a little bit about her. She is a sought after psychotherapist and therapeutic coach. As a licensed clinician with extensive experience, practice, and education spanning nearly 15 years, she has been featured in the Washington Post, Essence, NBC News, Refinery 29, HuffPost, Pinterest, CNN, and more as a trusted speaker, an expert contributor, and an insightful consultant. Throughout her career, she has honed her skill and compassionate approach using an integrative blend of treatments to address anxiety, depression, relationship issues, trauma, workplace wellness, and various other complexities of the emotional and mental health world. Her unique focus and passion is centered in the intersection of ambition and wellness, which drives her current work with high-profile, high-achieving leaders and has resulted in partnerships with companies such as Pinterest, Black Enterprise, and Architects Association to provide sustainable emotional wellness strategies that elevates lives and launches leaders into great levels of success. I am so excited to have you on as a part of the Abundance Summit.
Thank you for having me. I am excited to be here. I hear wonderful things about this community, so I'm glad to be a part for today.
Oh my goodness. Well, thank you so much. The work that you are doing in the world is super impactful, and I'm excited to have the audience learn from you. So let's dive right in. You're speaking my language as a licensed therapist and a certified professional coach. I'm actually licensed as a professional counselor, and then I'm certified as a professional coach through the International Coaching Federation. And those worlds don't always intersect. So tell us about that journey of intersection, along with the difference between psychotherapy and therapeutic coaching.
Yeah. So I've been a therapist for nearly 15 years, and that was always the dream, right? That was always the dream to get into the therapy room and help people to better understand themselves, to look at their histories and understand how they've been shaped and made, how they think, how they feel, how they behave, and the underpinnings of that. It was a dream of mine because I think early on, I really just knew that I had a niche for helping people. At first, I thought it was medicine. But over the course of schooling and college, I learned that therapy is really that sustainable change that I was looking to help people to do. And so throughout my years as a therapist, I recognized that people really did find great value, long-lasting value in insight-oriented work. That means, again, the cycles, the patterns that we have in life. Why do I do what I do? How do I make the decisions that I do unconsciously? Yet as they were getting towards the end of their healing process, they were able to do that for themselves. They understood why they did what they did. They understood some of the underpinnings of childhood and how that connected to their relationship. But they really just needed strategies and how to implement that into their everyday life, right? Mm-hmm. And that really kind of caps off in our therapeutic work, doesn't it, right? Where we do less advice giving and strategy building and more holding space for folks. Mm-hmm. So I started to do coaching just a few years ago, about 5 years ago, started a coaching process with folks that had already done therapy. They understand themselves, but they really need strategic planning around how do I implement this new sense of self-wisdom into what I do every day, into my job, into how I want to date, how I want to set up my family system, right? And so that's really where the integration started to happen. I happen to be a therapist. So the way that I do that, I think, is always going to be dipped in a therapeutic way of approaching it. Fierce yet gentle is my approach. And so that's how I started the process.
Yeah. We talk a lot about fierce coaching within the space of coaching. And I came to coaching very similar to how you came to coaching, right? That I started off as a therapist and then matriculated into that space long before I really found myself immersed into wellness work. And, you know, you used a word that I think is really important, sustainable, right? And so often in the world of healing and liberation and trying to acquire abundance, we're not always tapping into sustainable practices that are going to really carry us day in and day out towards the things that we want. Yeah. And so can you speak briefly about how people can cultivate sustainable practices to get to that day-to-day liberation?
Yeah. Well, the first thing is self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what practice we need if we don't know ourselves.
Yes. Yes.
So self-awareness looks like, sometimes it starts in the therapy process for folks, mm-hmm. understanding their childhood process, understanding their inner motives, drives, the things that really determine who they are in the day-to-day basis mm-hmm. that are unconscious and conscious, right?
Yes.
And self-awareness allows us to know the unique scars that need attending to.
Mm.
It'd be different for you and the next person, right? I can't just take a strategy that works for my girlfriend and say, oh, you know, this is going to work for me too, right? No, not at all, right? If I have challenges with abandonment, if I have challenges with insecurity, if I have challenges with attachment, my practices are going to align with the scars.
Yeah, that's so good. Yeah.
So sustainability really looks like, I understand the person behind the practice. I understand the vessel that needs the healing practice of the everyday ritual that I will institute within my life. Mm-hmm. And so that has to be the beginning, mm-hmm. right? And then from there, finding, giving yourself a period of experimentation to try a few things. Sometimes we just don't know what's going to work, what's going to feel good. What's our nighttime, a bedtime routine that's really going to be sustainable for us? How many hours do we actually need of sleep, right? Yeah, I feel better when I go outside or when I actually have indoor time, maybe in a coffee shop, that these practices have to be experimented with and explored in order to know that, yeah, it's not journaling for me. It's memos. I like to just do voice memos, not journaling.
Yeah. I love this invitation to experiment, right? And that we can't find the thing until we practice the thing, and the thing essentially begins to land with us. Yeah. And you know, something that you said before we move on to the next big exploration is that, you know, having the right size strategy for where we're at in our lives. And, you know, one of the things that the research shows about trauma is that a lot of people are misdiagnosed with PTSD. They're with ADHD. Are misdiagnosed with ADHD and ADD. So if you are medicating ADHD and ADD, and really you need to be medicating the trauma, then you're going to be shortchanging whatever modality you're using. And so I just really want to emphasize what you said, like be clear about what it is that you're actually working to cultivate within self, and then experiment to find those practices that are really aligned with who you are. So thank you for that invitation. That was really beautiful.
Yeah.
So I love that you intersect ambition, wellness, and abundance, right? As if they go hand in hand, and they really do. And you're going to tell us all about it. So explore with us the connection between those three worlds.
Yeah. You know, I really kind of fell into this world of working with people that have dreams, working mm-hmm. with people that have big dreams and have a big platform, which means not necessarily people, but ideas that really contribute to the world in a big way, whether that be in the creative space or in the professional sports space, or that, you know, is in the business world or tech world. And I found myself over the past decade really working with folks that really are achievement oriented. They have been shaped that way since childhood. And it is a big driving force in why they do what they do, right? And yet they were finding that that ambition was really not, as originally anticipated, a replacement for their healing.
Yeah. Oh, this is so good.
Right? Because that's what we do, right? When we find praise, approval, acceptance based on what we do.
Yes.
We grow into people that orient our lives around that same approval and acceptance. Now it's just high level, right? And so many folks that came to me in the therapeutic space came to me because it wasn't working anymore.
Yeah.
Couldn't find wellness and ambition. Their ambition wasn't doing the trick of creating this beautiful life that felt good to them. They had the life and it felt bad.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't contributing to a life that felt well, right? Yeah. It was really sick in many ways, right? Mm-hmm. And so I found myself really working with folks to rebalance their life, to create a life that they actually can benefit from and find abundance in. And ultimately, the ambition was changed or has been changed in my work for folks from a replacement for healing into a portal for healing for other people as well as themselves, right? So what is the intersection? Being able to find that ambition can indeed be married to wellness.
Yeah.
That you don't have to sacrifice yourself for the dream, that you don't have to divorce yourself from your own healing in order to get the ambitious goal that you have in mind.
Yeah.
Result of finding that balance, abundance is evident. Mm-hmm. It's automatic, because now what you're doing is you're contributing to the planet based on what you feel that is naturally coming from your essence.
Yes.
Your internal inspiration, your inner inspiration, right? That creates ambition, that creates abundance for yourself first. And out of the abundance of the heart, right? Out of the things that are just spilling over as goodness, as the part of your life that you're living, other people will also be able to feel that too.
Yeah. Well, and when drive is really driven by anything other than our true nature, of course, that's going to feel like pain, right? Because what we're driving towards is something that's not ours. It's a part of how we've been domesticated. Yeah. And so what you said, abundance is evident.
Mm-hmm.
In this space, which we're talking about flow state, right? We're talking about as we tap into our purpose and we align with that and we align our thinking and our doing towards that, then of course our lives are going to inevitably be abundant.
Yeah.
Deeply powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So I imagine that some of the same barriers that your high profile clients have to curating an abundant life are the same ones that folks have without that notoriety. Mm-hmm. So talk to us about what those are and how we can counter those barriers.
Yeah. You know, at our base level, we are all human, doing our best to try to survive and thrive.
Mm-hmm.
And the barriers to thriving are often shame, a lack of healthy attachment,
mm-hmm.
a healthy relationship with self and identity. And no matter who you are, no matter what your life is or what you do, you will come to terms with and wrestle with these things.
Yeah.
Right. And so being able to get into a safe space where you can explore shame, where you can explore the origins of shame in your life, the ways that guilt has led you, the compromises you've had to make in order to be loved and connected, And bravely making decisions to do things differently in the future is really everyone's life task.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And that task in life becomes that much more challenging when trauma exists, right? And more specifically, complex trauma. Yes. So I appreciate the normalization of the fact that like everyone is aspiring to be their highest self. Yeah. And because we've all been domesticated since the day that we entered this planet, that there is a coming home, and then there's work of liberation that we have to do to come home. But that is much deeper when we have endured the pain and suffering of trauma. Right. And it becomes the most worthwhile work we will ever do. And no amount of ambition, as we explored, ever can replace that. It can never, it is never enough, because anything outside of ourselves is never going to affirm the worthiness that is just simply within and rooted in our birthright that we're working to reclaim and find our way back to, even if we're not conscious.
Yeah.
That that's the pursuit.
Yeah. That's true. I agree.
Trauma
is one of those most egregious experiences that we have to go through in life, I think, because it scrambles your sense of knowing. We are guided in life by our sense of knowing, judgment, discernment, wisdom, intuition being the main thing. And trauma seeks to cut off the power supply to our own sense of intuition that we know that we can guide, right? And it is extremely challenging to untangle the impact of that. However, it is possible, right? So I affirm that the high level difficulty that it can present to a person, as well as the fact that it is indeed possible.
Yes, absolutely.
To angle that and to find yourself in the midst of it, that you were there all along, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that you validate that sense of, however weak or however strong that voice is, you begin to validate it and dust it off and bring it to its rightful place, which is center.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's so true. It is so very true.
Yeah. And Aquia, what I love about what you've imparted is that, you know, this is extremely timely. You know, I'm finishing my first book called Me Too, A Therapist's Journey to Heal from Complex Trauma, Find Liberation and Joy. And, you know, I'm a living testament, right, of the how we can alchemize complex trauma as we're willing to face ourselves and do the work, right? And it's not easy work, but it's the most worthwhile work, the most liberatory work, the most flowing work, the most abundant state of work to get us to that optimal state of being, which, as you said, we are all working to get to. And unfortunately, many people have lived our lives and never get there, right? And yet we can, through the very practices that we're imparting, you know, in part, not to be redundant, through this summit space.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for that exploration. So, you know, people often desire to break out into the space of having their work featured in major media outlets. What can individuals do to abundantly make that come to fruition? We know that you've been super successful just in the little bit that we shared in your bio, and I know that there's so much more. And so what can you say about the pathway by which to do that abundantly?
So I can kind of speak energetically and then also tangibly. I think those things are important.
Yes.
Your gift will make room for you.
Mm.
Operating in truth, authenticity, where you're supposed to be, listening to that intuitive guidance is what I call it, right? That space within you that knows, and honing your listening to that allows you to be in a space where you are impacting the most, mm-hmm. right? That impact is what draws people, period.
Yeah.
Right? That authentic self, sitting in the center of the self, is important. So that's what I would say. I would say that, you know, you know, operating in that space, it may not necessarily be media outlets. It may not necessarily be, that may not be everyone's thing, right? So if you're not getting that, or if that's not happening in your life, it's not a sign that you're not doing the right thing, right? It's a sign that maybe you're doing the right thing in a different location, a different area, a different industry, a different modality, right? That and that's okay too. I think it's important that I say that.
Yeah.
And then tangibly for folks, you know, actually engaging in some of the work that other people are doing publicly is helpful, mm-hmm. right? And offering your services to outlets and offering your services to organizations that are doing larger work or that are asking for volunteers is a tangible way of getting involved, right? In the conversation, in the comments, in the DMs, in the, you know, actually being a part of conversations and saying things that are true to you, but also really relevant to the topic is often how people hear your voice.
Yeah. So I just have a couple of quick follow-up questions about that. You know, I love that you said that your gift is going to make room for you. And this, you know, if the intention has been set to have this door open for media coverage and it's not happening, you know, it might not be your pathway. And so to know the difference between when it's just a matter of you putting in more work towards that, or if it's a matter of this is not actually where your energy needs to be. And this is why, you know, really sitting with the self is so important, because sitting with the self gives us the insight we need to know what is the right pathway for us. Right. So that was really, really good. And then when you talked about the tangibles of everything and like connecting with organizations to share your voice and your expertise, can you provide a concrete example of what that might look like?
Yeah. You know, a couple organizations that come to mind within the therapy space, Therapy for Black Girls is a really good resource, mm-hmm. right? Therapy for Black Girls not only has obviously their social media spaces, but they have communities as well where folks are gathering and telling stories and being a part of processes together. And, you know, there's a cross section of women that are in these spaces that are also potential connects for you to be able to build relationships with and have relationships outside of the communities with. There are organizations that are typically working in the mental health space again, that are creating conversations within their public pages and also private groups that allow you to offer your expertise and allow you to be a voice. I know Charlemagne the God has the Mental Wellness Alliance conference, right, where he kind of brings lots of people together. He also has like an open call for presentations, I believe, for that type of conference. And so if you are signing up for a conference like that because you have something to say, it would be a really good start for you to be in that center with folks that are also speaking the same language. Right. So those are two examples of connecting on a relationship based way, and then also having more of a larger platform where people are listening to your presentation that you're doing.
Yeah, those are great recommendations. And I like what you're offering in terms of the alignment, right? Find where the groups are that are aligned with the very things that you want to do. Because, you know, as I say often, there's really nothing new under the sun, right? If you're doing it, somebody's out there also doing it. Now, I also say that nobody's going to do it the way you do it, right? Which is why, again, sitting with self, as you have offered a couple different times during this interview, is so critical. So as we get ready to wrap up, one of the last things that I want to explore with you is that it's clear, right, from what we have talked about and what I shared in your bio, that you have achieved a great deal of success, resulting in curating a really beautiful, abundant life. So I've imagined, though, that just like any of us on this planet, you've had some setbacks as well. What have your biggest setbacks been, And how did abundance practices help you to fail forward?
That is such a good question. That is such a necessary question, because we all have moments. We all have moments. There are so many. I think the one I'll grab, I will say there are so many. Underline.
Me too. Listen, me too.
Underline, right? So whoever you are, wherever you are, there's something, and you will have it multiple times throughout your lifetime.
Yes.
It's part of transition. It is part of maturation. It's a part of you becoming. I think the most recent experience I had was really a issue with burnout, right? That there was so much that I was doing to, in the name of helping people. And here, can I say this? In the name of helping people, we can still really forget ourselves and harm ourselves. And, you know, there was a lot that I was doing a few years ago. And, you know, it was kind of the height of my career. I'm doing really, really important things. I'm impacting as many people as possible, right, during the pandemic. And my, you know, operating system that I had used for years to really kind of muscle through things stopped working. Right. And when you are used to going and you are used to being high octane and your body says no, it can be an identity crisis.
Yeah.
Right. It can be really, really destabilizing to not be able to do the things that you're used to doing, where you begin to question your ability to do things. Will I ever be able to do things, right? And so for me, it really, that setback was having to pull back in order to heal.
Yeah, yeah.
Having to get quiet, having to implement all of the things that I was teaching other people to do here. And the beauty of life is that what you need to support yourself and to heal yourself is right at your fingertips.
Yes.
It's right there.
Yeah.
It's the words that you say. It's the advice that you give. It's the messages that you send to those near and close to you. That's what you need, right? And so that abundance is the ability to have the resource that I need in moments where I need it the most.
Oh, that's good. I love that very simple definition of abundance, right? Because so often we matriculate through life feeling that our needs are not being met. And yet sometimes, even when we know, and many of us do know, right? Many of us know, we don't always do. And it's important, of course, to be compassionate towards self and others when we know and don't do, because that's what humans do. That's how we are, essentially. And knowing that, you know, this idea of balance and self-care, you know, hopefully we're doing that on an ongoing basis, proactively, and amplifying that as our lives are more rigorous during seasons, or we experience grief because of loss, or whatever that might be, right? The goal is for us to have tons of tools in our toolbox that we are actively putting in place so that we're well for the light that we are positioned to share with other people, right? Because me too, you too, healers too. And this stuff is for all of us. So Akwiwa, I would love for you to share a final piece of inspiration to the audience before we talk about the beautiful free gift that you're imparting them with.
Yeah. I would say something that's really important is success is your ability to be fully yourself and to be well in whatever life you're creating. If that is not what's happening, if that is not the goal, I encourage you to reassess. If in some way the life that you're living is giving you a clear path towards gaining some product. But at the end of it, you won't be full and whole. It's not worth it. There is a beautiful gift that you can give your future self by foregoing the things that are not sustainably helpful to you, your soul, sustainably helpful to your soul, in order for you to be intact, beautiful, well, vibrant in the future.
I felt that in my soul. That was a call to action. I just got to exhale on that. Tell us all about this free gift that you are bestowing upon us.
Yes. So during a time where I think I needed it most, and then also collecting all of the strategies and advisements that I've given people over the years, I created a ritual wellness plan that helps you to go from the beginning of self-awareness and developing tools to gain self-awareness and a deeper sense of wellness, awareness for yourself, through creating a ritualized wellness plan that can accompany all the goals that you have for your career, for your relationships, for all the things that you set for yourself. There is a plan that you have for your wellness as a result of going through this process with me in this plan. So I'm giving that today, and I'm excited for all of the folks that are part of the community to be able to go through this ritual wellness plan. At the end, you create your own personal one. That's the practices that you're going to have in your life based on your own awareness of self and what your needs are physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. All of the things are included. And so I hope it's a beautiful journey for you and that you find that personal ritual that feels so personal and also rewarding.
Wow, what an amazing tool. Thank you for imparting us with it. So I'm sure that folks are definitely going to want to stay in touch with you after the time that we've spent, the insights that you shared, and the way that only uniquely you could do it. So talk to us about how we can stay in touch with you.
Yeah, so I am often excited to hear from folks on a day-to-day basis on my social platforms. Instagram, Aquia K. Boughton is my Instagram handle, as well as Twitter. And also for more private inquiries and things like that, my website is aquiakboughton.com. The contact page is a great way to get to me, as well as my email, info@aquiakboughton.com. That's AKUAKBOATENG.
Beautiful. We will make sure that you all have all of these links to make it very, very easy for you to connect with this beautiful soul. I know that you've been inspired. I've been inspired. Queen, just much gratitude to you for the work that you do, for showing up today, for being in solidarity with me within this Abundance Summit, because I know you, just like me, are working to help people to live, to curate, and to have enough courage to live an abundant life in every single way possible. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. All right, beautiful people, you heard it here. Until next time, Ashe.